The political brawl is the least surprising part of this shocking news. It's all about who will wear the blame. The Federal Opposition's industry spokesman says Toyota's withdrawal could trigger a prolonged economic crisis for blue-collar workers, the like of which hasn't been seen since the Great Depression. And opposition leader Bill Shorten is laying the blame at the feet of the government.
Tony Abbott says car workers are liberated. What, liberated to be on the unemployment queue? The Liberal government just don't give a stuff about manufacturing in Australia. The car industry is the largest driver of R&D in Australia. Bang, that's gone. The thousands of small businesses, weren't the Abbott government meant to be friend of small businesses? They're not the friend of any small business in the components manufacturing.
It's another big challenge for the new government of Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Prime Minister, good morning.
Morning, Chris.
What comfort can you offer those employed in the car manufacturing industry this morning?
I can't offer them false hope. What I can say is that our job as a government is to build a stronger economy that enables people over time to go from good jobs to better jobs. Now, I know that's of little comfort to people who were hit with the devastating news from Toyota last night. Some consolation ought to be there in the fact that Toyota aren't going tomorrow. They're not closing down next week or next month or even next year. They are going through until 2017. So that means that 2,500 good jobs doing good work will be available with the company for at least another 2 or 3 years.
But as we've seen with Ford, that might go sooner rather than later.
Well, we have seen another 300 jobs go at Ford, sooner rather than later, as you say. The important thing, Chris, at a very difficult time, is not just to focus on the problem, but to focus on the quality of these workers, the fact that they are highly skilled people, adaptable people, people who have done well over many years and who can continue to do well in other roles. And these are adaptable people in a country with a proven record of flexibility and creativity.
But what will those jobs be? What will the jobs of the future be for those people? Because we know from manufacturing jobs back in the 1980s, the transition wasn't always handled well. Some of those people never worked again.
I accept that the transition is not always easy, but if you look at places that have had a significant change, like Newcastle, which lost its steelworks back in the 1990s, but is a different and many would say somewhat better city today, these things can be done. And we can seek answers now for the distant future, or we can focus on what we can do in the near term. And in the near term, our job as a government is to ensure that the economy is as strong as it possibly can be, that far more jobs are being created than are being lost, and that's the best hope over time, Chris, of ensuring that people who are now working at Toyota can move from good jobs to better jobs in the months and years ahead.
That's in general, but can you be specific? What can you do for those who are involved in car manufacturing now to ensure that they have good jobs in the future, those same people, and those, of course, those tens of thousands who are employed in the component manufacturing sector, which hangs off it?
Well, last night, Chris, I was talking to the senior management of Toyota, and they assured me, and Industry Minister McFarlane, and I'm sure they've given similar assurances to Premier Napthine, they assured me that they intended to look after their workers until 2017. Now, again, the news that your workplace is going to close in 3 years' time is bad news. It's difficult news. It's devastating news. But it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week. It's not going to happen next month. It's not going to happen next year. So there will be time to manage this transition. And obviously Toyota, as a very responsible, honourable business, will do its best to ensure that its workers are not left in the lurch.
And you as a government, what is your responsibility? We know what this government won't do, and that's offer any more assistance for car manufacturing, but what will you do by way of industry policy? What are the jobs of the future? What are your plans?
Interestingly, Chris, Toyota didn't come seeking additional assistance. They said...
But the Premier of Victoria will today, won't he?
Well, the Premier is coming to meet me, but last night Toyota said, look, we've looked at this long and hard. This is a very considered decision, and it is a final decision. And it's not as if the government could have leapt in at the 11th hour and said, here's another $100 million or $200 million. Please, please, please stay. We've tried that with the motor industry. It hasn't worked, and the best thing now is to focus on things that we can do and which are profitable, and the best thing that the government can do is get the fundamentals right. And the sorts of things that I'll be talking to Premier Napthine about today is what infrastructure projects, for instance, does the Victorian government have in addition to other projects that we are already as a Commonwealth committed to, which might be funded in the medium term so that the people of Victoria are confident that they can face the future and that their state is going to be in better shape in 5 years' time than it is now.
This decision is not a shock. Surely the government was planning for it and it will ricochet through those economies. We're not just talking about component manufacturers. Everyone from the people who empty the bins all the way through to those who supply the computers. It'll have a huge effect on specific areas. And I guess it's a fair enough question for people to ask now as to whether or not the government is tooled up to respond to this. Have you got a plan?
Well, you might remember that last year in December, Holden announced that they were going to cease manufacturing in 2016, and we swiftly moved forward with a package of up to $100 million to help the adjustment, and that's something that we are continuing to look at with some of the most significant people in the business sectors of both Victoria and South Australia. If you ask me, Chris, can I say what individual Toyota workers will be doing in 4 years' time? I can't give you that answer. But, Chris, none of us know the answers to those questions. What we've got to do is remember that we are creative people in a capable country who have always face the future with confidence and have always made the most of it.
Well, the federal opposition is having a punt at the future. It shows industry minister is saying this could trigger a prolonged economic crisis for blue-collar workers, the like of which hasn't been seen since the Great Depression.
Oppositions have a tendency to talk our country down, and I'm not sure that that's really what we need on a day like this. This is a very sad day for everyone connected with Toyota. There was deep sorrow from the top of the company down yesterday, as you'd expect. 50 years of manufacturing in this country drawing to a close. But there will be better days ahead. There always are, and that's what we should focus on, as well as grieve with people who are lamenting the passing of what has been a fine business.
So what will you offer the Premier of Victoria when you meet him today?
I'll be offering him a good hearing, and I'll be offering him a willingness.
He'll want a little more than that, won't he?
Well, the Premier and I know each other well. He's a good man, and he understands that the job of government is not to offer false hope or miracle cures. The job of government is to sit down and carefully and methodically and purposefully sort out what is best done in difficult situations. And the best thing that we can do, given that these jobs aren't being lost tomorrow, next week, next month, or even next year, is to ensure that the fundamentals are right. And that's where the Commonwealth and the state can engage in a stronger partnership to look at things like shovel-ready infrastructure, which can kick off sooner, which will leave Victoria a stronger place.
Prime Minister, on your Royal Commission into Union Corruption, the Australian Workers' Union is being investigated by the police. Officials of the Health Services Union are before the courts, and there have been at least three Royal Commissions into the building industry since the 1980s. Why do we need another?
Well, this isn't a Royal Commission just into the building industry or just into any particular union, but Chris, your very own radio broadcaster, your very own ABC, has been regaling people quite properly with very serious claims of kickbacks, of bribes, of standover tactics, of organised crime penetration, of unions and work sites. And we need a great big spotlight shined into the dark corners of our community when there are these sorts of credible allegations, and that's what this Royal Commission is going to do. This Royal Commission can quite coexist with existing police investigations and with existing criminal cases. There's no reason that this Royal Commission should interfere with any of those.
And there's another Royal Commission that you've got going into the Rudd government's home insulation program. Shouldn't anyone fear an executive that wields a judicial hammer against its opponents?
Well, Chris, it's important to learn the lessons of past mistakes. Royal Commissions, and we've seen quite a few Royal Commissions over the years. We've got quite a few very high-profile Royal Commissions and inquiries operating at the moment in all sorts of subjects. And where you've got a culture of cover-up, where you've got systematic wrongdoing, a Royal Commission is the best way to expose it and to change the culture.
Well, haven't you opened the door on the possibility that we'll end up like the United States, where governments are endlessly now the subject of legal action?
I want to give honest workers and honest businesses a fair go. And plainly, we've seen honest unionists' money ripped off by dishonest officials. We've seen honest workers intimidated and prevented from going about their business by rogue elements of unions, and it's important that we get to the bottom of this and we ensure that everyone in this country is able to get on with his or her life.
Now, the Treasurer says a lot recently that the age of entitlement is over. Do you mean that as much for individuals as you mean it for companies?
We've got to ensure that governments live within their means. Everyone has to live within their means, Chris, whether it's a company, whether it's a family, whether it's an individual, whether it's a government. And that's what this government is on about, and that's what our budget preparations are aiming for.
Well, income support for seniors, for example, is $39 billion this year and growing to $48 by 2016-17. Family tax benefits, $20 billion across the forward estimates. Disability support pension, $15 billion and growing to $17 billion by 2016-17. Aren't those the big areas of government spending that you have to attack?
Well, we'll do it in ways that are consistent with our pre-election commitments. And our job is to make our economy more productive by getting taxes down, by getting regulation down. But in order to get taxes down responsibly, we do have to bring spending under control. Now, we'll do this in ways which are consistent with our pre-election commitments. If you look across the Tasman, Chris, to New Zealand, the New Zealand government is on track to get government spending as a percentage of GDP down from 35 to 30%. And they didn't do that through savage cuts. They did that through careful management and basically through saying no to unwarranted new spending proposals. And that's the approach that you'll find from this government. New spending will be funded by sensible savings to existing spending.
And there has to be savings in the areas where you spend most money.
Well, that's your assertion, Chris. We will do it. We will find savings, and we identified many billions of savings pre-election. There are currently $20 billion worth of savings before the Senate, all of which were flagged before the election, $15 billion worth of coalition savings, and $5 billion worth of Labor savings, which we adopted. And you know, the Labor Party is blocking all of them. They're not only blocking our proposals, they're blocking their own pre-election proposals.
All right, finally, Prime Minister, the budget this year obviously will be very important for you. It will set the tone for the kind of government that you're going to be. What do you envisage for Australia? What kind of Australia will emerge under an Abbott government?
Well, my themes for the year, if you like, Chris, are stopping the boats, fixing the budget and building for the future. They're my themes for the year. I want every Australian to feel that he or she is going to get a fair go, and I want every Australian to feel that they are being encouraged to have a go. And the budget's part of that process.
Prime Minister Tony Abbott, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.